Have I learned enough for now? Savitri asked. She was beginning to change. She could feel it. Many things she once considered real now seemed like phantoms, while the most profoundly real things were invisible. I think so, said Ramana. Go home. Will you come with me? He shook his head, smiling. I wouldn't want to scare Yama to death. Savitri's heart skipped a beat. But how do I get back? I don't know where I am. Or so you imagine. Ramana pointed into the darkest part of the forest, and Savitri saw a swarm of lights that might have been fireflies, only it was mid-afternoon. Ramana nodded toward them. He said, I know you think I won't be with you. That's just another bit of imagination. Seeing her reluctance, Ramana bowed his head and turned. Everything will be as it will be. Startled, Savitri remembered that those were Yama's exact words to her. She lingered for a moment until Ramana's form disappeared into the heart of the forest. Then she walked toward the hovering lights. They grew larger, and she knew she was seeing a band of devas. A deva is the same as an angel, but it can also be a nature spirit. Who are you? She asked. Are you tree devas? But instead of answering, the lights darted away from her. Savitri had the distinct feeling that they were afraid of her. In her gentlest voice, she bade them to come back. One of the lights said, Why should we when all you want to do is kill us? The voice was not outside Savitri's head, but inside. Savitri was shocked. Kill you? I would never do such a thing. The light replied, You're doing it right now. We are the devas assigned to you, yet look feeble as we are. Savitri said, Tell me how I did this, because if I ever needed you, it's at this moment. The light said, You have been full of secret sorrow. You are anxious about death. You think nothing of us, and you will never call upon us. That's how you're trying to kill us. Savitri had never thought of devas that way, that they needed attention. But now the very mention of death drew her mind back to fear, and when it did, the lights grew smaller and dimmer. She exclaimed, Wait, don't let me kill you. To which the light replied, You can't. We are immortal. The danger isn't that you can really hurt us, but that you can break our connection to you. We need your love and attention, and in return we will help you. How? Through inspiration. We bring messages. We can let you see us as you do now, and that will help you see your place in the divine plan. Is it the divine plan for Satyavan to die? Savitri asked. For a few moments the devas had been coming closer, but now they scattered and moved away from her. She caught herself and took a deep breath, asking for hope and courage. The lights cautiously drew closer. The divine plan is like life itself. It includes all creatures in their proper place. The proper place for humans is first in eternity and second here on earth. Death, like the pause between two breaths, is how you cross from one home to the other. Savitri felt a rush of gratitude, which brought the lights even closer. They began to gleam, lighting the way. Savitri knew she wasn't lost. In fact, her hut was close by, and with determined steps, led by a flickering host of lights, she headed home. Other cultures have felt more comfortable navigating the subtle dimension than we do. Our tendency is to wall this region off from the physical world and to make arbitrary decisions, like the following. People who see angels are imagining things. Dreams are illusory, so every other subtle phenomenon is an illusion also. If you see or hear anything that isn't physical, you must be hallucinating. Seeing a god or angel is the equivalent of seeing a UFO. Both are outside normal experience. Sacred visions are the result of organic diseases like epilepsy or paranoid schizophrenia. To create in consciousness is our greatest gift, and what we create continues to evolve. If you open yourself to your role as a creator, you gain much more freedom. The next step, then, is to unfold that process in detail.